Blog Talk Radio.
We praise you, O my Lord. We magnify your name. Glory be to God for whom all glory is due. We want to thank everyone for calling in today and just taking a little time out to hear a little more about Jesus. We just magnify his name. You know, I'm excited. I'm always excited because every day brings a new miracle from the Lord. Are you magnifying his name? We want to thank you again for calling in. And we're honored, delighted, and excited about bringing forth the man of God. We're going to be talking about recognizing who we are intended to be in Christ. Amen. Developing oneself in Christ. It's required of you to understand what God has in store for you. Amen. I am Pastor Teresa Docks, and I'm excited from Kingdom Builders Development Institute. We're bringing forth the man of God, Brother David Patterson, which will be broadcasting every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Begin to go tell someone. 5 o'clock Eastern Time, we'll be here. I see the callers coming in, and I'm excited about it. Want to make sure everyone's phone is muted before we relinquish the line to the man of God. So get ready, get your Bibles out, get your pens and your pencils, and get your mind set to hear what God is doing. Amen. We want to open the lines up, get everything set, and at this time, I'm going to relinquish the line to Brother David Patterson. God bless you and God bless everyone that's on the line. Amen. Brother David, are you with us?
I'm here.
Amen. God bless you. Good evening. I'm going to relinquish the line at this time, and you can go forth as God lead.
All right. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of the Soldier, where we come to share the wisdom and knowledge of God. Let me start off with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. We thank you, Father God, as we come boldly to the throne. We ask you, Father God, as I deliver this word, let it come, Father God, with accuracy. Let it, Father God, come with wisdom. Let it come, Father God, with your knowledge to help us to grow and mature in you. Let me decrease so you may increase. So those who receive your word, Father God, will receive your blessing. For we know your word do not return void, but it will accomplish that has been sent. So we praise God as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The scripture for the day says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our show is about realizing who we are intended to be in Christ. I like to quote Gandhi as he says, as human beings, our greatness lies not so much in being able to remake the world, that is a myth of the atomic age, as much in being able to remake ourselves. The scripture in Romans 2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that's what this is about, lining up with God's perfect will. See, it's important that we learn who we are and who we are supposed to be in Christ. I'm reminded of a joke between Jesus and Moses. So Jesus and Moses were out golfing. Jesus said, "Watch this. It'll be just like Tiger Woods. He hits the ball and it lands in the lake." Moses says, "I'll get it." He goes down to the lake, parts the water, and retrieves the ball. "Okay," Jesus said, "this time it will be just like Tiger Woods." He hit the ball, and again, it landed in the lake. Moses goes down, parts the lake, and retrieves the ball. "A third time is a charm," Jesus said. "Watch, just like Tiger Woods, for the third time, he hit the ball, and the ball landed in the lake." Moses said, "This time, you go get it yourself." So Jesus walked down and began to walk on the water, looking for the ball. A crowd forms. One guy says, "Who do he think he is, Jesus Christ?" And Moses said, "No, he thinks he's Tiger Woods." You see, it's important that we know who we are. This is why it says we can be easily transformed, we can easily find ourselves being slipped into the world's way of thinking. But we have to learn how to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is what God intended us for us to do and to be. So let me recap. Last week, we spoke about creating and maintaining a clear picture of who we are in Christ, where we want to acknowledge the value of understanding oneself. For you see, this is not about self-centeredness, pride, or egotism, but more about becoming more mature in the walk with Christ. And I mentioned that there were three components that we should consider in this process. But the word said in 1 Corinthians 11:28, everyone ought to examine himself before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We know that was a part of the Lord's Supper. But the key point is everyone ought to examine himself. And as you get to know oneself, you begin to move from awareness to actually having a knowing or a fresh level of knowledge of who you are. You're not just one becomes an entity, but there's an entity that's just out here, but you're made for a purpose. And God will give you those tools to achieve that purpose. For our Father in heaven gave us a mind, body, and spirit, and all his resources to achieve his will. The Holy Spirit, his armor, the guardian angels, the fruits of the Spirit. And so you take those and combine with what I like to call self. Spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, where you receive wisdom, understanding, counsel, courage, knowledge, faithfulness, and the fear of the Lord. Emotional qualities, self-awareness, self-regulation, relationship management, effective communication. Communications is essential in being able to effectively share God's word. We're all given unique abilities, intellect, music skills, writing skills, singing skills, things that makes us unique in our own existence, and those personality attributes, being responsible, resilient, a caring, compassionate person, an assertive person, a consistent person, someone that is trustworthy, motivated, and versatile. Again, yes, it's important that we get to know thyself. But as we become to know ourselves, this is something we have to develop. So that's what this is going to be about, developing oneself. In Hosea 4:6, it says, "My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge." Today, I'd like us to get a little more knowledge and use that second layer of the tripod as I spoke about last week. For remember, the tripod helps keep the camera balanced and improves the picture. And if we don't have a good picture of ourselves, if it's out of focus, this can become a challenge. And it distorts everything about who we are and who we are to become and how we love ourselves. So developing oneself. What does that mean physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually? Self-care, or as I like to call it, self-preservation, is significant and important when keeping up with our very own well-being while we are being out there supporting and helping others. I note that throughout my life, that if one spoke about oneself, it was viewed as being selfish, vain, arrogant. You're too preoccupied. It's all about self-gratification. For if an individual invested too much time or taking too much time on their body, spending too much money on health food products, self-help, spiritual enrichment books, and all your health food that talk way too much, but yet we're doing that. It's in our vein. No one another soul is going to try to guilt you when you're being preoccupied developing yourself. One thing that I really know is that I've never seen a battery give a devil not his own charge. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not just your own. You were brought for a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, consider what I mentioned earlier. I like to share the different perspectives of self-care. Self-care comes, in my view, three ways. Self-care for preserving oneself, self-care for centering on oneself, or self-care for pleasing someone else. Thus, I like to imagine self-care for preserving oneself in order to develop, improve, and maintain that house that the spirit resides, as well as preserving the spirit with the house that it carries. Remember, I mentioned last week, the body is the house and the spirit makes the home. Therefore, scripture tells us that the body is not our own, thus we must take care of it. I can recall when my father let me use his car. The car was brought for a price, just like Jesus sacrificed his life. My dad's car wasn't my own, but he let me use it for a purpose. Therefore, I must be responsible and take care of it. This is true for us. We must take care of our physical body as well. Again, self-care is centered on us preserving ourselves. I like to talk about a few things we can do. In preserving ourselves, we have to educate ourselves and get that academic sound, because this allows us to be able to navigate through life with some kind of accountable education, the ability to make educated decisions. We need to develop ourselves socially. We need to network, for iron sharpens iron. We need to take care of ourselves physically. We need to meditate. We need to pray. We need to be able to prepare ourselves for the future. Lessons learned in the past, knowledge in the present, and being able to forecast the future. These are all within the spectrum of self-care for self-preservation. However, what does the word say about spiritual development or self-care? In Matthew 6:3, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, so all these things will be added. He didn't tell us to go and venture off into all these different type of ways of developing ourselves. He says, seek my kingdom first and my righteousness, and this will help us. All the other things will be given unto us. In Ephesians 4:22-24, he says, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former matter of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on new self, created after the likeness of God in truth, righteousness, and holiness. Again, back to renewing our mind, back to making a change, letting the old man of, like in my case, like I followed my father. I was like my father in the flesh. But when I got born again in the spirit field, I became renewed. I became another person. And now that transition is happening. And that's what we have to do. We want to transition from the old man to the new man. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. We have become a new creature. And old things pass away. I like to say it's a process. So it slowly starts to digress. Because I kind of view it like a goblet. And so God's word is the endless water pouring to this impure wine. As they merge, there'll be the confusion, the chaos, frustration. And I'm sure we all have moments where we become frustrated. Am I saved? Am I getting it right? Am I doing the right thing? What do I need to do? But as time progresses and that endless water keeps going, and all of a sudden there's an overflow, and the old man begins to leave, and the new man begins to grow. That's what we want to do. Timothy 1:7, for he gave us the spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control, or sound mind. See, God is always giving. If he asks us to do something, he gives us a promise. And he gives us what we need to be successful, to the point that we can say for Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. However, in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Do not lean on thy own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight our path. Thus, we have an amazing amount of word to pull from God's word to prepare ourselves spiritually. For you see, God does not leave us comfortless. God gives us what we need, and his scripture even validate that. But here are some of God's resources. Now, when Saul was going to let David go out and fight, he was willing to give him his armor. But David knew he had a greater armor. He had a greater backup. And he had God's armor. So in Ephesians 6:10-18, it says, put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the belt of truth, the sword of the spirit, which is the word, and to be able to put up that shield of faith. And see, the shield will help all those attacks that come through the land. But we have to have that faith. And God is so wonderful, he understands us so well that he didn't require us to have a faith the size of a Cadillac. He said the size of a mustard seed. You just need to have a little faith in him. Lean not to your own understanding, because when we get caught up in our own understanding, that's when our faith sometimes diminishes. But when we trust God, it becomes stronger. And each time God proves himself every time to help us fight the good fight of faith. So we have to trust in him. But he didn't stop there. In Acts 1:8, he said, you'll receive power, dunamis, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the Holy Spirit will help us, aid us, and guide us to make those, I like to say, those spiritual educated decisions. And as we evolve and we grow spiritually, again, we start to develop ourselves. We become stronger. When we start out, we kind of emaciated. It's like going into the gym. And you never worked out. And you walked in there and you look at the weights and you say, well, I'll just get these 10 pounds and that'll work for me. But as you go in, you start getting your flow, you start getting your knowledge, you start feeling comfortable, you move it on up to 25 pounds. And then you move it on up to 75 pounds. And before you know it, you're bench pressing 225 and you're comfortable. But oh, there may be times where your strength may not be there. But God never leaves us or forsakes us. So he will give us the strength we need. That's how it would be with us in the spiritual man. We may be starting off a little low in spirit, but as we continue to meditate, study, grow in God's word, we become the Olympians of God's word and truly begin to become who he intended us to be. Then he shows us that we're like that tree. We need to bear certain fruits. And in Galatians 5:22-23, it tells us that we must bear these kind of fruits in attitude and behavior. Love. We first commandment is that we got to love God and love our neighbors. We love ourselves. This is the covering of everything. And as we begin to grow in love, we create an environment that's filled with joy. And at that point, people get a sense of peace. But we have to understand that we have to let patience have a perfect work so these things can begin to grow. As I said, like with that goblet, they'll be emerging. So we can't give up and give in. We have to be patient. And as we begin to grow and mature in God and develop in God, it'll be much easier to render kindness, goodness, and gentleness. We can be faithful. We can maintain that level of humility. Humility is not the sign of weakness. It's the sign of full courage. Jesus humbled himself to die upon the cross for us because he had courage. And I think about when he had to go, he knew he was going to die. And he said, if this cup could pass, that body would say, oh, I don't want this to happen. But again, as I said earlier, he said, if it be thy will. And that's when he humbled himself to follow God's will. He maintained the last of the fruits. Self-control. And as we mature and as we grow, as Paul said, working towards the mark of perfection, well, we're not going to be complete, but we can mature. We'll be able to maintain that level of self-control. Therefore, it is important that I think that spiritual development, physical development, emotional development is essential, mental development, but they all have their place. And we have to kind of be like, I guess you could say like a circle. It just has to go around and around. And as it goes around, it connects, like I guess a ring. It connects and it's strong and it becomes stronger. And it maintains a certain level of consistency. As again, we begin to become more able to maintain self-control, more able to walk in faith, more able to believe God versus our own madness sometimes that runs through our heads, because I know we all get multiple thoughts that flow and try to divert us from our faith, try to make us waver in our faith, try to even make us give up on God. But oh no, oh no, we got to see ourselves as Christ saw us. He saw us as his friend. He was willing to give up his life. You know, I'm reminded, saying, no good to lay down his life for his friend. He is so important that he's willing to lay down his life and call us friends. So we don't have to waver. We just have to keep building and preparing and do the things necessary. So I think that these four elements may be essential to help us. We have to have a vision. We have to see ourselves as Christ saw us. We have to take that vision and begin to plan, to develop it. I imagine an architect, they have a vision when they first start off. And then they go and they plan on what they're going to do to put it all together. And they prepare. As we prepare to develop and grow in Christ, we begin to know who we are in Christ because we get more knowledge, more information. And again, we won't be destroyed because we got God's word. And it sustains the test of time. So it allows us to be able to grow because it's always there. Because God is his word. And he said he never leave us or forsake us. For we're not forsaken. This is beautiful. And once we have developed from the vision and we develop the plan and we prepare, it's time for us to execute. And as we execute, things may happen. Life does what life do. I'm reminded of Job. Everything was hunky-dory, if you will. He had a beautiful family. He had a good reputation. He had riches. He had friends. So I can believe that Job had a vision that allowed him to become rich. And God had a vision of Job, too, that he would allow Satan to come and test this. And he allowed Satan to basically take everything but his life. And I'm always reminded of the ideal people say, have the patience of Job. Well, if we looked at Job based on the word, looking at him, that would look like he maintained a lot of patience. But he trusted God. He didn't lean on his understanding. So no matter what people said, his friends, his wife, he trusted God. He trusted the vision that God had of him, not from the physical standpoint, but from the spiritual. God looks at the heart. And I believe that that's where Job was coming from, trusting God from his heart. So you may have to come and revise. You may have to rebuild. You may have to continue to go back in and out of that spiritual gym and build that muscle. But once you build it, you continue to execute because that is what it's about. God wants us to go out and share the good news. God wants us to go and let other people know you're not alone. God wants us to go out and let people know that you have someone who loves you no matter what. We may fall, but he'll pick us up. So we have to trust God with all our heart. We have to believe that God is there for us. God will never leave us or forsake us. I'd like to thank you for joining me. I like to say that it takes time to build spiritual muscle, so be patient with oneself. I know I go back and forth every day as I pray, Lord, here we go again. I missed the mark. But the one thing I know, that if you don't have a target in front of you, you have nothing to shoot for. So we need that target, and we need those challenges. I've never seen a muscle ever built without some resistance. So there's always going to be something that comes. But as we go forward, we continue to trust God, believe God, he will give us the spiritual muscle we need so we can know thyself, continue to develop thyself, and at some point, because now we really know who we are, we truly can love thyself. Again, I'm your host, David Patterson. I'd like to sign us out with a prayer and say thank you. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your word. We thank you, Father God, as the word went forth, that, Father, those out there who had ears to hear were able to hear what is needed for them. We know that man is flawed, but your word is not. So we hope, Father God, and faith is a subject of things hopeful. We hope, Father God, that we pull from the spiritual realm your power, your dunamis, so people can go forth and be the powerhouse you intended them to be. But Father God, we know that we can't do it by ourselves. If I was at my son's church, he'd say, you're not good enough, because in the flesh we may not be good enough. But in the spirit that he blew in us, we have him, God, we have you, God, we know that we'll be great enough. Because you take the ordinary and do the extraordinary. So we trust in Father God in you with all our heart and trying our best not to lean to our own understanding. We pray, Father God, for everyone out there, that their family be blessed, Father God, blessed in their bodies, blessed in their relationships, blessed in their finances, blessed in every area of their life, because you know their needs, and we know that you supply all our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. For we praise you, we honor you, and we adore you, and we know, Father God, you hear our prayer, because your word don't return void. And we know, Father God, we come expectant, because you say we don't need the faith the size of a mustard seed. So we go trust in God. For we praise you, we honor you, and we adore you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Can you only imagine finding yourself being God's best? We want to thank you. This broadcast is brought to you live with Brother David Patterson, and we want to invite you to come every Tuesday. We'll be here sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
We want to say God bless everyone. Thank you again for calling in. See us next Tuesday, same place, same time. We'll be here waiting to pour into your spirit with the word of God. God bless everyone. Have a supernatural rest of the day.